On this episode of the Thrill Geek Podcast, we talk Joel Manby leaving SeaWorld, and we talk about the huge expansion announcement for Disneyland Paris.
And we take a look back at this week's The Walking Dead as it returns, and we both give our thoughts on Black Panther. All this and more on today's Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. Fortunately, I was out last week. I had a little bit of a sickness. I was better, but I had this cough that would not go away. So I was like, let's just hold off. And unfortunately, it wasn't the best time for me to be under the weather.
No, you did not take the break at the best time. we had the Disney mommies panels last week, so they dropped a bunch of stuff. And then kaboom, today they bunch of bombs dropped. So
yeah, so we got a lot to talk about to get caught up here. So we're gonna discuss Joel Manby leaving SeaWorld here and Disneyland Paris announcement today. We're gonna cram that in along with getting caught up with stuff from the past 2 weeks. So obviously, first things first, the big announcement today. Joel Manby is out at SeaWorld. The announcement came as the quarterly earnings report came out. He is no longer with the company, and he started back in 2015.
I believe so.
And, you know, he came into a rough situation, and it's such a touchy topic. I mean, all day I've been scrolling through Twitter and Facebook and seeing people's comments, you know, like where do they go from here? What does SeaWorld do? You know, and it's where do they go? What's next?
And they're in an interesting place right now. I mean, I feel like in some ways the bleeding has been stopped, but it hasn't
healed,
you know, healed. And, you know, I mean, as far as his tenure, I mean, he walked into a very bad situation. The previous administration did a horrible job dealing with everything that happened. He's had, you know, mixed views about him from the beginning. You know, there's some people who have said, you know, he wasn't really that great to begin with.
Yeah.
But and he definitely made some missteps. You know, Kraken Unleashed really was a misfire. You know, the submarine ride out at San Diego, you know, got, you know, vicious reviews. You know, it's you know, some things, Electric Ocean, great. Seven yeah. Seas Food Festival, great idea. Continuing to enhance and do different things with the Halloween Spooktacular and Christmas and Christmas Town at the Busch Parks.
Yeah, and we're never gonna know now because he's gone, but I noticed that one of the big questions that everybody was asking was, is 3 years enough for him to completely do what he was going to do to turn this company around?
Well, unfortunately, as long as this is a public company,
yeah,
it's going to be very hard.
Yeah.
I almost feel like that the only way this company may eventually survive is someone big enough to buy it and basically, you know, make it private again, you know, make it private.
Yeah.
So it no longer has to deal with, you know, the stock market, which, you know, everything's about quarterly results when basically, you know, saving SeaWorld, the SeaWorld parks and Busch parks, it's a long-term proposition that's going to take a long time.
And another thing I thought about a lot was, you know, going back 5, 10, 15 years, even before Blackfish was a thing, attendance at SeaWorld and Busch Gardens parks have never been record breaking.
No, I mean, their
attendance numbers have never been Disney or Universal, you know, quantity.
No, I mean, but they've always been some of the you know, most well attended parks in the country, and at times in the world. And things are different now. When they were all owned by Anheuser-Busch, you know, the profit part of it wasn't as big of a deal because they were sort of goodwill entities for Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
And free publicity for Anheuser-Busch.
You also have huge, I mean, just within the last 5 to 10 years, huge competition from Universal and Disney. Whereas before, things weren't like they are right now between these two, you know?
Oh, no. I truly think it was a double whammy of Blackfish, which I think Blackfish, to me, has hurt San Diego more than it has Orlando.
Oh, I agree there. Yeah, I agree there 100%.
Because of California.
Yeah.
You know, there's more progressive attitudes there where it hasn't hurt Texas as much. Texas seems to be with the one SeaWorld park that seems to be doing halfway decently, you know, and Orlando, I feel to this day, it's a double whammy. It wasn't just Blackfish. It was Universal and Harry Potter.
I don't think I agree. I've always had the inclination that, I mean, yeah, Blackfish hurt SeaWorld, but there's a lot more to the puzzle than just a documentary. And like I said, that's its two neighbors down the road.
No, Disney. When Disney changed to their Magic Your Way tickets, which made it harder to separate, you know, to be able to basically leave Disney property or do something else besides Disney. And also the prices going up so much, you know, your choices become less. Combined with Universal growing exponentially since the debut of Harry Potter, it is, and add Blackfish on top of that.
Yeah.
And then add going public on top of that.
Yep.
It's squeezed that park. And it's unfortunate because it's a great park.
It is. I love SeaWorld. It's just so hard because I sit here and I ask myself, like I said at the beginning, where do they go from here? Where can SeaWorld find their niche to where they're not struggling anymore?
And I don't know what you do. I mean, people have talked about, do you change the name? But you have such brand recognition with both names.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine.
And they've been doing, you know, that. Bushgar. They've been phasing out the Shamu name.
Well, yeah, Shamu has pretty much slowly disappeared. I mean, well, this year, the Halloween Spooktacular was SeaWorld's Halloween Spooktacular, not Shamu's Halloween Spooktacular. Yep.
And,
you know, they've sort of slowly been phasing Shamu. And I mean, they've obviously, based on stuff we've seen, they've moved up the timeline of converting Shamu's Happy Harbor over to Sesame Street.
And I've heard rumors that the Shamu's Happy Harbor, Shamu's Emporium, it's going under a makeover right now. And that's going to supposedly get rid of the Shamu name on that.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you could call it SeaWorld Emporium.
Yeah. So
they're slowly moving the Shamu name, even though they haven't gotten rid of the merchandise.
And the big thing with Joel was rides. I mean, you got Mako, you got Infinity Falls coming this year. So Mako obviously didn't make that big of an attendance boost for him. So is his thing of more rides and attractions versus the animals working?
Yeah, and that's the question. I mean, Mako served a purpose. It definitely filled a need for that park, and also for the central floor, this area. None of the parks had a hypercoaster.
It was perfect. I mean, I'm nothing bad. I love Mako, but is this plan for them working about adding more rides every year instead of focusing on the animals?
Yeah, you know, we'll see with Infinity Falls. To me, they need one of the things that Orlando seems to be missing compared more so, if I remember from Texas and San Diego, is they had both of those parks had more aquariums.
Yeah.
And I think back in the day, Orlando had more aquariums, and have got rid of, I believe, some of them over the years. But to me, if you want to add more animals to the park, aquariums are the way to go, because they seem to be the one of the least controversial things.
Yeah.
They're a little bit less controversial than the shows. And that's the other thing where, you know, this, unless the timeline changes, this is supposed to be the final year for the entertainment Shamu shows.
Yeah, because they said what's the name of the new show called? I can't remember right now.
But we're supposed to get that, I believe, in 2019. And I think Texas is going to be the last one to convert.
Really quick, we got an email question from Joshua. He emailed in. His email said, "Hi guys, I follow your Twitter feeds and I really enjoy your coverage. I live in South Florida, so I don't get to enjoy the parks as much as I would like to, unfortunately. I actually have several questions for you." We've kind of answered a few of these already, but I'll fire them off here. He said, "What do you guys think will change at SeaWorld now that Mambi is gone? Do you think we'll go back to more animal, more of an animal-based park, or will the march toward amusement rides continue?" That's kind of what we were discussing right now. Also, what needs to be done to save the parks? Do you think they will be adding more rides to Busch Gardens Tampa anytime soon? So, anyways, thanks for your question, Josh. We kind of answered some of that already. As far as the more rides to Busch Gardens Tampa, I think, isn't their anniversary coming up next year?
I think so. I think next year's another anniversary.
I mean, surely they're not going to be getting anything major, because something would have happened by now.
I mean, there's been talks for a few years now about a Giga B&M.
Yeah. I just don't see them.
I don't know.
In that.
They need to fix, like, Gwazi needs to come down. That's to me is one of the most embarrassing things about that park, is the fact that Gwazi is still standing, and they need to find the money to tear it down, because it's
just sitting there rotting. And there's been several discussions as to what would go there. Anything could go there. I mean, once they tear down Gwazi, that's a huge area of expansion for them. Whether it's another coaster or a whole new themed section or,
Yeah. I mean, they have that area. They have what's left of Rhino Rally.
And they closed Jungala recently because of budget cuts. So.
Yeah. But I think I saw that they were going to reopen part of it.
So
at least coming up here,
I would expect something soon to be coming to Busch Gardens, because I mean, the last major thing they got was Cobra's Curse. And, that was a few years ago. So hopefully something's on tap here soon.
Yeah, I would hope so. And, you know, we'll see, you know, when Infinity Falls, when it opens, because I guess the original rumor was around Memorial Day. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, every time I've seen it from the Sky Tower, I've noticed the barges have already started to show up and support structures have started to show up. So maybe things will start kicking into high gear here soon. But from what I've seen the last few times I've been to SeaWorld, it doesn't look like it's anywhere near where it should be in, as far as construction. So,
but I mean, they, I think the company itself has, you know, they need to decide, you know, are we going to pursue more animal stuff? Like I said, like aquariums, or are we going to just keep going down this ride path? And they've got to be better at choosing projects, because yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, Kraken was a waste of money. It was just a waste of money.
You mean Kraken Unleashed?
It would have been much more better.
Yeah.
Kraken Unleashed was a waste of money.
Nobody liked that.
And I would rather that resource. You know, I mean, they could have used that money. They could have put in a flat ride or a couple of flat rides. That would have helped. You know, that would have given something different to the park. You know, that would have done better than a coaster that almost nobody could actually get on.
Yeah, and they did away with it, and the weights went away. It was practically walk on again when they stopped the VR.
Yeah, and I mean, it did, and also it didn't help the previous regime spent all that money on Antarctica, and you know, for besides the penguins getting a very nice new area.
Yeah.
Antarctica was a flop. The only reason it had wait times is because that was the only way you could see the penguins. It's amazing how those times have gone down now that you can bypass.
Yeah. Like I said, they dropped off and it's back to normal now that the VR is gone.
And it didn't help. It didn't help that it's also, it looks great at night, but it doesn't look that great during the day.
No, I agree. I think going forward, they need to make better decisions as to what attractions they put into the park and is it worth the investment?
I think Seven Seas Food Festival was great. The Electric Ocean was a great addition. My only complaint, and we've discussed that about that, was not properly. If they're going to have food booths, then they need to be open. And you know, it was like totally random sometimes when some of those food booths were open and some were closed. And it's like you can't do that. You have to have them open if you're going to advertise food booths and have sampler things. Then they need to be open. And I think Halloween and Christmas needs a refresh. And I think it would have been money well spent instead of spending money on the Kraken VR like they did this year, refreshing Halloween and Christmas and adding some new stuff to it. Cause it's some things are starting to get a little long in the tooth with both their fun events. But they are. There needs to be something.
I think
new
Halloween
to them.
In particular, and, the spectacular really needs a refresh or an update or something.
Yeah, I mean, whether at a Halloween sea lion show or something needs. The times.
Yeah,
a couple
the crowd
times
still
I
come.
Went last year, it was packed. Yeah, same thing. You know, Christmas was packed. Yeah, I mean, it's still not as packed as it used to be. You know, there, you know, like the Shamu Christmas show. They used to do two of those, and now they do one, and it still wouldn't fill.
Anyways,
up all the way.
We got to wrap up here and move on. You know, it sucks. It really does. I love SeaWorld. I love taking my family to the park. And I really hate to see them going through this. And I wish I could say I knew what the future holds for them. But right now, it doesn't look good. And we'll see what happens.
No, they've got a lot of issues to fix. And it's not just the what's out in the parks. It's also behind the scenes, too. With stuff as simple as their website not working right. And you know, there's countless of us who are pass holders who can't even properly use the website because it won't even acknowledge that our pass exists. So, and that's a problem I've had over the last like 6 months, and have called and emailed them, and they still can't fix the problem. So it makes me not want to renew.
But because of, you know, anyways, Joel, like, you know, that, so. I wish him the best in his future endeavors. And there, you know, there was a lot of people dogging him and talking bad about him. And I don't think it's necessary. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to have that job, to go head first into the mess that he headed into. So, I hope in the end SeaWorld works all this stuff out and they can find their niche and, just move on from this mess, because it sucks. Every time I read something about SeaWorld, it's bad publicity, and I love the park. So hopefully things will work themselves out here and we'll see what happens. So anyways, moving on, let's move on to some more lighthearted stuff. What are we going to talk about next year? We got so much to talk about.
Well, we got Flower and Garden kicking off this week.
Flower and Garden is kicking off. We had a short little break. Everybody was calling it the non-festival time frame at Epcot.
Yeah, I mean, we had a short little break, and we've had some news trickle out in the last couple of weeks with the outdoor kitchens announced this year, 15 of them, including a brand new one, which is, I believe, the Honey Bistro, hosted by the National Honeybee Board. So we have that. We'll have a link in the show notes. We have that article up on the website with all the menu items. So much.
Yeah.
It's amazing how this festival used to not have food.
Just exploded.
And now we're. Yeah. And the irony is, though, I enjoy the food at this festival way more than much like the Festival of the Arts. I enjoy
the Flower and Garden Festival as a whole. More than food and wine, excuse me.
Well, yeah, I mean, because you get the food in oftentimes bigger portions and lower prices than it is at Food and Wine, and you get the park looking. I wish the park would look that amazing year round, because it's just all this extra topiaries, all these extra flowers and trees and everything going on. And I mean, I'm not a big garden person. I live in an apartment, and even when I had a house, I hated mowing the lawn.
It's nice to look at. It's not nice to take care of. The park is amazing.
It's so much fun. Yeah. And I mean, even the concerts have gotten better. I mean, they used to be more oldies type concerts, and there's still some of that mixed in, but there's a lot of like, you know, younger bands now, like, you know, was it Simple Plan and Blue October, stuff, people like that who are perform now at the concert. Yeah. So it's a fun festival, and we got the outdoor kitchen menus up, and we got an article up with the festival merchandise, which as usual features Figment and various t-shirts and bags, but also it's got Minnie, and even the Orange Bird makes an appearance.
Yeah, I actually got the article up today with some of the Flower and Garden Festival merchandise. Oh. And as you mentioned, Figment is, of course, as usual, a big part of it. And they got the Dooney and Burke. That's how you say it, right? Dooney and Burke, I think, right? Anyways, they'll have either a wallet or something. I think it was a bag for the pass holders.
Yeah, there's always that's definitely new. A handbag for the pass holders, and those things are expensive. On top of the usual annual pass holders, you know, shirt, turvis, pins, but a handbag this year.
Yeah, I was really surprised
also
about
there's
that,
three
usually
different
it's just
magic
one
bands
or
this
sometimes
year to choose from.
Two, but they got three new magic bands to pick from this year.
Um, Yeah, and you got a pass holder exclusive one featuring Figment, and that one's a 2000 limited edition. The Mickey Mouse one is a 2000 limit, and then the mini one, that's only 1,000 of those. And, so I would not
the
be
mini one has a flower scented box, quickly. And the other one, what was the one that has the orange scented? I think it was the Mickey one. So
that's Mickey, yeah. Yeah, because the design is reminiscent of the orange, the old fashioned orange packing crates that if you've seen sort of a Florida thing.
So some really cool looking merchandise this year. I like the baseball cap with the Mickey ears. Did you see that one? Looked like Spaceship Earth. That was interesting.
Yeah, that is pretty cool looking. Yeah, and there's usually, as usual, there's this, festival specific mini ears. There's a lot of different. Looks like they really upped the merchandise this year.
Big announcement: we'll actually be at Media Day for Flower and Garden Festival this Saturday. It'll be our first ever Disney media event. I'm excited to get out there and cover it. So make sure to follow us on all the socials. And stay tuned this weekend for that. It'll be Saturday, and it looks like I'll be there. It'll be throughout the whole day. And it looks like they've got all sorts of exciting stuff for us to check out. So, and I'll be tweeting and Facebooking and the whole thing. So
yeah, it's pretty cool to get to go to the Facebook, Instagram. Yeah, I mean, we've been lucky enough to go to some of the Disney Parks blog events in the past, and it's really cool to, at least for you, I will be out of town, but to finally go to a Disney media event. I've been lucky enough to go to a few over the years. And
so I'm really excited. I was pretty shocked when we got the invitation, we'll be out there doing our best to bring you coverage from the International Flower and Garden Festival this year. So look for that on Saturday, pretty much throughout the whole day, like I said. So,
and speaking of festivals, Animal Kingdom, which will be celebrating its 20th anniversary this year, is instead of just usually Earth Day, they always do a one day sort of fun anniversary celebration. But since it's the 20th this year, they're basically calling it the Party for the Planet, and it will basically run for about 2 weeks from April 22nd through May 5th.
Yeah, there's going to be, they're going to have all sorts of activities and food and all sorts of stuff going on during this event. There'll be photo opportunities, and what else was announced? Oh, there's going to be a limited edition badge for the Wilderness Explorer game there that the kids and their parents can do.
Yeah, I mean they've been sort of light on the everything, but they have mentioned special food booths and photo opportunities, and Joe Rohde will be there on April 22nd to sign a special edition print, and the new bird show Up a Graded Bird Adventure featuring Russell and Doug will also debut on April 22nd. So it looks like it's going to be a fun event, and we'll be interested to see how this does. This Animal Kingdom hasn't really had festivals.
This will be like almost like a little festival for them during the like you said. It's almost 2 weeks. Oh, that was the other thing. I quick looked at our article. Tiffin's is going to have 6 different restaurants. Oh. Yeah,
themed dinners.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, and they'll be hosted by animal experts. I was like,
yeah, they're gonna have that, and they've already, some of the 20th anniversary merchandise has already started to show up in the parks. So it looks like it should be fun, and I'm planning on being there April 22nd, so we will definitely be out and about covering that event.
Yeah. So, all right, we'll jump over to Disneyland, talk there really quick, and then we'll talk Disneyland Paris. A couple lounges, restaurants have been announced for Disneyland. We'll talk about Lamplight Lounge coming to Pixar Pier, which will be replacing the former Cove Bar area at California Adventure. So they're still releasing little tidbits of information about this Pixar Pier makeover, and this is the latest.
Yeah, I mean, they closed the Cove Bar down, and obviously we were expecting it to get a re-theme. You know, they released what the entrance of Pixar Pier looks like, which besides having Luxo on top, it sort of looks like Paradise Pier. Just it says Pixar Pier now.
Yeah,
and we'll see what the Cove Bar is going to look like. And they've basically released some other pictures of concept.
They really didn't release any artwork for the new Lamplight Lounge. Just some new basic concept artwork for the Pixar Pier area. So they didn't get much to go on, but it'll be coming. That's yet another piece to the Pixar Pier puzzle. And over at Disneyland, they are going to be getting, I thought this was really cool. It's going to be called the Tropical Hideaway. excuse me. And that'll be located in, it'll be replacing Aladdin's Oasis at Disneyland, over near Enchanted Tiki Room and the Jungle Cruise.
Which I believe used to be the Tahitian Terrace, or is
it, before it was Aladdin's. I looked up the history of it. You're spot on.
Yeah, it was Tahitian Terrace when it originally opened in 1962. So this sort of brings it a little bit more back to that style. I don't know if it's a full service. It looks more like it's a quick service place.
Disney really didn't get specific with whether it's a full service restaurant or if it's just going to be kind of the next closest thing I could think of is the Hangar at Disney Springs, where it'll be, kind of quick service, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, because we have Skipper Canteen here, which is a full service, but also ties into the Jungle Cruise. And, this place is supposed to tie into Disneyland's Jungle Cruise, too, because it's literally going to be right on the water of the Jungle Cruise. And obviously concept paintings and final product with Disney often change.
Yeah.
And
the only description they gave were on the Disney Parks blog. They said guests will, quote, be able to rub elbows with their favorite skippers in an exotic trader's market featuring all of the sights, sounds, and flavors of the tropics. So they really didn't specify it was a full service or a sit down or quick service or what. So hopefully we'll get more details about it, but it looks like a cool little addition. It looks like it'll be a cool fit for that area.
Yeah, no, it'll Disneyland always needs more restaurants. It doesn't have.
Yeah.
unlike ours here, which, has stuff that isn't open. Disneyland, when I was there, every quick service, every place was packed. So, Disneyland really needs another restaurant, and this will help. And it will take a place that's really been not really used much in a while. So,
yeah, from what I saw, Aladdin's Oasis really hasn't been a heavily used area over the past several years. So this will definitely put that area back on the map and make it a venue that people want to check out. So, all right. We're getting through it here. So much to cover, so little time. We'll go overseas and talk about Disneyland Paris's big announcement today. Bob Iger announced that they will be getting Disneyland Paris, the Studios Park, Walt Disney Studios Park, will be getting they didn't really give a specific time frame, just that it'll be starting in 2021.
I wonder why 2021. I wonder maybe because certain things will be wrapping up here.
Yeah.
You know how Disney likes to spread their capital expenditures over certain periods of time. But, you know, Walt Disney Studios Park in Paris has always been sort of the redheaded stepchild of the Disney parks. And this is really going to expand that park.
Yeah, they'll be getting three new, not attractions, but areas. They're going to be getting, obviously, Star Wars Galaxy Edge is coming. A whole new section on Arendelle and Frozen. And a whole new section on Marvel, which if you study, we have the website, we have the concept artwork up on the website. It looks, if you look closely at the Marvel expansion, it looks like the Iron Man attraction may be going there, the one that Hong Kong is getting.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be built up around where Rock and Roller Coaster currently is, which is getting converted into a Guardians of the Galaxy ride. And the big thing is,
I'm not too familiar with Disneyland Paris, so I had to spend like,
or is, I'm sorry, not Guardian of the Galaxy. It's like, supposed to be like a Marvel Iron Man attraction, not Guardians of the Galaxy. What am I saying?
Yeah,
we discussed that
the
before.
Rock and Roller Coaster. And then, that was announced at D23 in Tokyo.
They will be dropping in Star Wars Land, and they will be building a lake, and that will which will, you know, be near Star Wars Land and be near Arendelle, which looks very similar to the Arendelle that's been talked about going into Disney Sea over in Tokyo. So,
yeah,
you know, it's going to greatly expand the park, which really truly is, based on people who I know who've been there, it's a half day park. It literally is a half day park.
Yeah, I've talked with several people that have been to Disneyland Paris, and from what I've heard, like you said, the Studios Park is the park that needed the most TLC. Is plopping three huge IPs into the park going to help it? Sure. There were a lot of people saying, "Oh, this is just this is such an easy fix for the Studios Park, just plopping three IPs in there."
I mean, is it the easy way? Yeah. I mean, is it Disney right now? It's Disney right now. This is what they're doing. You know,
yep.
People should be find it ironic that once again, you know, yes, Walt Disney World got Frozen first, but everybody else seems to be getting a lot better version of Frozen than we got. So,
yeah, the Norway overlay that we got.
Yeah, so I mean it's going to greatly help this park. I mean, and we're talking years away, and who knows what's going to change. I expect Star Wars Land to still be part of it, cuz they spent a lot of money in developing especially the attractions for Star Wars Land.
So yeah.
If they're gonna duplicate it everywhere they can. And
another funny observation in the concept artwork is Tower of Terror is still Tower of Terror, so no Guardians, at least according to the concept artwork for their Tower of Terror. But like you said, concept artwork changes.
But it is notice the Marvel Land is right next to there, so
yeah, it's really close. So who knows? But yeah, they said it'll be beginning in 2021. So they didn't mention which expansion's opening first. I would imagine they're going to start with the Marvel one.
Yeah, because that's already
already there.
Yeah, and it's already, they're already going to start.
They're already starting it with the Rock and Roller Coaster makeover, and
yeah,
Star Wars and Arendelle. They're going to have to build this whole lake, and it looks like a big undertaking.
Yeah, I mean, that park has a ton of land behind it, so it's always had
the room
for expansion.
Like I said, I know nothing about Disneyland Paris. I haven't been there, so I spent some time earlier today after this announcement just kind of looking at it on Google Maps, and there's literally like nothing but open farmland around the park, so they have tons of room for expansion even after all this is done. And if you look in the concept artwork, there's a huge plot to the right of Arendelle that they could do something. So,
oh yeah, they've got, they, it, it will definitely, when this is done, the funny thing is when this is done, it may actually be, they may have more stuff than Hollywood Studios does. Yeah. So.
There were some people saying that this could, once these three expansions are done, this could make the studios park, you know, a top, like we've been saying, the Walt Disney Studios park at Paris has been ranked as one of the lowest. And this could make it one of the best as far as attractions go.
You know, I think it's Disney's plan to definitely, you know, make Paris, the Paris resort, a minimum three-day experience to really experience all, because they've still got, you know, the one thing that caused all the problems with Paris is the sheer amount of hotels they built when they opened that place. And yeah. So they've got plenty of rooms to fill. And they still got plenty. And the irony, too, is they still got plenty of room if they need to build more hotels in the future. And they got plenty of room for another Star Wars hotel back there. They've got plenty of room for more hotels. And like I said, with all the land this is, they could build, you know, a hotel that overlooks the park, or is, you know, much like, the out in California. So
yeah,
they got plenty of room for more expansion there. And it's much needed, you know, for the future to keep Disneyland Paris going and expanding and continuing to grow. So it's a much needed expansion that we're talking, you know, God, how many years from now? Probably 5-6.
Well, they said it starts, it'll start in 2021. So, you know, that's.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if the Marvel stuff is done by 2021. And then it's going, like I said, it's going to be a few years for Star Wars and then Arendelle.
Yeah.
It's all finished. So we've got a ways to go. But one last theme park thing as we come back to Florida is to touch on is this past weekend was the end of the Redhead, the original auction scene from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, there's still, I mean, even today, I'm still seeing tons of discussion on Twitter and Facebook about, you know, it's a political, you know, the world we live in. Political correctness, and unfortunately this change is coming whether we like it or not, and you know, what do you do? You know, you can scream, you can kick all you want, but unfortunately Disney's made the decision to change the Redhead auction scene, and they're turning her into a pirate now, correct?
Yeah, they're turning her into a pirate, and the auction will be them auctioning off, you know, stuff that they've stolen. And, you know, I don't have time to get up in arms about stuff like this. The change is happening. There's legitimate reasons for the change, especially in this day and age. You know,
and there's some really heated discussions about it.
Yeah, I mean, much like a lot of this stuff, you know, you and I usually stay out of that kind of thing because it is what it is. Is it going to ruin my ride experience? No. What ruins my ride experience is crappy sound and crappy lighting. Is in those crappy boats is what ruins my ride experience. Yeah. I'm hoping not that they're going to give some of the ride a little bit more TLC.
Well, that's what somebody was saying. Somebody was like, I don't care about this redheaded scene changing. They were like, I'm just sick of Pirates of the Caribbean breaking down. This ride breaks down three, four, five times a day.
Yeah, and it's the boats. The boats are the problem. They don't want to spend the money to go back to fiberglass boats. And the other problem is, you know, back when Captain Jack was put in Disneyland, their entire Pirates got completely redone. All the speakers were replaced. All the audio was upgraded. All the lighting was replaced and upgraded. They did not do that here. They only upgraded the scenes with Captain Jack in them. That's why our auctioneer still sounds like it's from the 1970s. So I hope, you know, since we're going to get a new auction scene, I hope they're finally going to redo the lighting there. But, you know, that still doesn't, there's still other parts of the ride that still need to be completely redone. I mean, it's just, you know, Disneyland's has always been bigger and it's better, but when you ride that one, you know, some of the scenes that we have that are the same to the ones here, there's audio you can hear that you don't hear here. Cause it's the quality is so poor here. And that's what I want. I really don't care that much. I just hope they do fix some of the other problems, but the biggest problem is the boats. And unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be going to be fixed anytime soon. But I'm interested to see how it's going to look.
When does it open back up again?
You know, we were there. It's supposed to be in 3 weeks that it returns. And, you know, for those who want to, we were there this final weekend and got to ride it a few times. And for those who still want to see the way it was this final weekend, we have a video up on YouTube and we'll have the link in the show notes.
And we also posted it on Facebook. So it's floating around there on our Facebook page. So if you want to see the original redheaded scene one more time, check out our Facebook and YouTube, youtube.com/thrillgeek and facebook.com/thrillgeek. So, all right.
So I think that's it for our theme park stuff.
I think we got caught up here somewhat. real quick, we'll talk about The Walking Dead mid-season premiere and Black Panther because I saw it today. So luckily we'll be able to discuss that. So actually, let's do that first. Let's talk Black Panther because that's the bigger of the two right now. I saw it today and I really enjoyed the...
How spoilery do you want to get into this?
I mean, the movie's been out for what? 2-3
yeah,
weeks?
So, I mean, as a warning, we are going to get into spoilers. So if you don't want to hear it,
I mean,
skip.
I won't get too spoilery, so but...
I'm glad you saw it because my review would have to be very vague.
I saw it today for that reason. I was like, I'm going to go do some podcast homework because I was off today from work. And I was like, I'm going to go do some podcast homework because I know Barry's probably going to want to talk about Black Panther. So me and Cheryl went and saw it really quick and I liked it. I don't think it's my favorite. A lot of people are praising this movie over, at least in my opinion, over praising it for what it is at face value. It's a really good movie. I loved it. The villains, the female characters, there's a lot of strong characters in the movie that I really enjoyed. And the story, just the movie overall was not it's not your typical Marvel superhero film.
No, and that's one of the reasons. It's amazing now how we keep getting these you know, different type of films now. It seems, especially ever since Captain America Winter Soldier, you know, except for a few missteps, we keep getting these Marvel films that are just...
Which, by the way, is still my favorite Marvel film, Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Black Panther is definitely out of the... What are we at? 17, 18 movies now? It's definitely top five for me. It's such great storytelling. I mean, they really, I mean, in the first few, you know, beginning of the movie, they in such an inventive way, they give you the backstory.
Yeah, the way they did it, the cinematography with the animations and stuff, and that was really cool.
Yeah, they give you the story, you know, that, you know, it's a story of a you know, at time, even though the father has passed away, it's a story of a father and a son and son having to move on, but also to find out that this father that he thought was perfect made a horrible mistake that the son now has to deal with. And then like I said, the one of the biggest things is so many strong female characters, so many awesome.
I think that's what surprised, because you know the big talk about this movie is the African American. Hit my microphone here. Sorry. The big thing is the whole African American thing, you know, and which is great. But what really surprised me was the female characters in this movie were just phenomenal. I loved all the female characters in the movie did such a great job.
Yeah, no, I mean they were all good, strong, and really the biggest thing, probably the weakest character in the movie is Black Panther.
I can see that, yeah.
Cuz you saw, I get his motivation and his story, but his story is sort of the least exciting out of all of them. And so many people steal the show, but I think that's part of the point is he doesn't survive if it isn't for all these strong women around him.
Yeah.
And you know, that's such a great message too. And, you know, the one actress who plays, I think it's her name's Letitia Wright. If I say that wrong, sorry, but she steals every scene she's in.
Yeah.
You know, makes you want to see a movie of just Shuri. You know?
And that was, you know, the girl that plays Michonne on The Walking Dead, right?
No, the one who plays his sister.
Okay. Yeah. But you know who I'm talking about. That was her, right?
Yes, that's who plays Michonne, and I always get her name wrong, like Dania Guerrilla or Guerrilla. Yeah. Or
she was great too.
Oh, she was awesome.
She's a badass in The Walking Dead, and she's a badass in this movie.
Yeah, she's awesome. Lupita Nyong'o, who's an amazing. I mean, that's the other thing, is just the sheer amount of amazing actors in this movie.
Yeah,
I mean, Chadwick Boseman is just awesome as Black Panther. But of course, you know, the one thing everybody's talking about is Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger.
Yeah.
And even though it's obvious to me, and it'll be interesting to see the deleted scenes for this movie, how much of his story got cut, because it feels like a few things were dropped. But when he's on the screen, he is just commands your attention. I mean, and Michael B. Jordan's such a good actor anyway. But
yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by his performance in the film.
Because you actually sort of see his side. You sort of see his point of view. And albeit, you know, some of it comes out of anger, but some of it does make sense, because it's you know, why has Wakanda just, you know, Wakanda, yes, it has this amazing technology and all these amazing things, but they also have sort of cut themselves off from the rest of the world.
Yeah, they've secluded themselves.
And let the rest of the world, and especially in this case, you know, African people around the world suffer while they live in, you know, in this glorious gilded city.
And
I think that's the lesson, you know, one of the lessons, you know, Black Panther, you know, realizes by the end of the movie, they can't hide from the world anymore. And
big spoiler, that's one of the cut scenes, is when he comes out and finally talks to the UN.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Yeah. Cause I, yeah. it's said, you know, it, you know, people were like, well, you know, how do you, it, those two end credit scenes sort of, as another one that subtly sets up Infinity War, because obviously, you know, Wakanda sort of coming out to the world, you know, and the whole speech he gives about, you know, there's going to come a time where we're all going to have to stand together. It's like, little do we know, it's coming really soon. And
I mean, we've seen that in the Infinity Wars trailers.
Yeah, we know Wakanda is ground zero for one of the battles in Infinity War.
Yeah.
You know, and then the other end credit scene is we see Bucky is back, and Shuri, whatever Shuri did, she was able to finally get rid of his programming.
Yeah.
Doesn't have his new arm. His obviously he's going to get a new vibranium arm at some point. That was also the sort of subtle setup to, cause we've already seen Bucky in the trailer. So we knew he was going to get back. And of course there was the great line in the movie where, when he brings the agent, CIA agent, to Wakanda and what was the line? She's like, you brought me another white boy to fix. So it's probably not the right perfect line, but yeah, I like the movie. Like I said, for me, it's probably top five Marvel film. I was not surprised. Some of these people who are surprised at how well it does, it did not surprise me at all based on the way people were talking about it online. It just does not surprise me how big this movie is done. And yes, it's big, seeing a predominantly African American, a predominantly black cast. Yes, that's huge. But in the end, it's a great movie. It's a great story.
There was a big mix. You know, I kind of looked around the movie theater to see kind of the diversity in the movie theater, and it was a good mix.
My showing, it was
blacks, whites. Yeah. There wasn't predominantly one or the other. It was a good mix. This movie.
Yeah, this movie would not be having the success it has if it wasn't a great movie. So
yeah,
so I'm you know, we got Infinity War coming up here. You know, it's
full steam ahead,
and this movie has broken all kinds of records, and it's amazing. Here we are, 18 movies in, and
it's not slowing down,
and Infinity War is, you know, I expect it to be great. I mean, the Russo brothers have not, you know. I mean, Captain America: Civil War, you know, it had its issues, but with Infinity War coming, we've never seen anything like this before, where everybody is going to be in this movie. Yeah.
It's going to be big.
At least one of the movies. I have a feeling the first movie there may be a few people who aren't in it, but I have a feeling that. The follow-up movie next year is really going to have everybody. We've had a discussion before. I have a feeling some people may not make it out of this first movie, the Infinity War movie. So,
yeah, there's been a lot of discussion about who's going to die. So we'll see.
But speaking of dying,
little segue here. Speaking of dying, really quick, we'll. Touch on the mid-season premiere of The Walking Dead, and which was basically an hour and 20 minutes of Carl dying. So
yes, we got to say goodbye to Carl. We got to see where this dream sequence was, and it turns out it was what Carl thought of the future in his head.
Yeah.
So that's where the whole question about that, you know, all season, you know, was definitely revealed. Carl passing away and basically saying goodbye to everybody.
I still can't believe they killed him off.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really
bizarre for me because he's still alive in the comic
books.
We had
this discussion at the mid-season finale. You know, he's still alive in the comics.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like we said, it's the biggest deviation from the comics. But the TV show has become its own entity, and you know, I have a feeling there'll be a couple more people who will be dead before the season's over with.
Yeah, and Morgan was a complete badass in this episode. Wiping out the saviors.
He went to a pretty dark place this episode, and ending with you know, when it came time to kill the savior leader who had attacked them, the kid.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but the blonde haired guy.
the kid who Morgan had trained killed him. So I have a feeling that's going to have some repercussions when it comes to Morgan's psyche.
What else happened in the episode? Oh, let's touch on what was going on in the ending with Rick up against leaning up against the tree with like those pictures hanging by him. What's going on there? That was interesting.
Yeah, I have no clue. I mean, obviously we're
his hand was bloodied or something. He had blood on his hand or something, and I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where this season ends. Obviously, there's been a setback, but we'll see who makes it out alive, and besides Rick, and whether they do what happened in the comics where Rick doesn't kill Negan. So
yeah, and he basically becomes a prisoner.
Yeah,
which is kind of, I mean, in the dream sequence, Negan's part of all the good stuff in Carl's world, and he's actually a good guy, which was pretty funny to watch.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, I sort of saw before we started, ratings were down again.
Yeah, every time a Walking Dead episode premieres, there's articles of ratings dropping.
I think it's still the number one show.
Yeah.
But it's nowhere near it, which, I mean,
everybody's saying Scott Gimple needs to get fired and all this stuff.
And he's sort of stepping away from day to day of the show for next season.
Yeah.
And overseeing both, who's going to sort of oversee both shows. So, I mean, we'll see. I still watch the show. There's still moments I enjoy. We are on season 8.
Yeah,
that's.
I don't get the same feeling. You know, there were some people that I agree with. I don't get the same hype feeling anymore.
Mm-mm.
when The Walking Dead comes back that I used to back in, you know, like season 3, 4, 5. That feeling's gone for me. But I still watch the show. There's people that dog it and oh, it's a horrible show, but I still watch it. It's still a fun flick to watch, and we'll see where the second half of this season goes. So.
Yeah,
because this whole war thing still has to get resolved and everything, and what happens with Negan. So, still some questions that need to be answered.
Yeah, I think once they get through this storyline, it's definitely where things sort of turn a little bit in as far as the next future. Because you got to remember too that this first few, first what, 4 or 5 seasons. They were constantly on the run.
They were constantly moving.
And things have sort of set. I mean, obviously not, things happening, but, they've sort of settled into an area, for civilization to survive, you have to settle down at some point. You can't keep running.
And I mean, Alexandria got blown to smithereens, but we'll see, if they decide to stay there or what the next plan is now that Carl's gone. Cause everything Rick did up until this point was for Carl. So now that he's gone, what does Rick have to, I mean, obviously they have, what the hell is her name? The baby.
Yeah.
Gosh, I can't even think of her name. Anyways, he still has her to fight for, but everything he did was for Carl. And now that he's gone, it'll be interesting to see what position Rick takes now with the group and everything. Well, at least who's left of it. So,
well, we will see.
And there were a bunch of superstitious people saying Carl's not dead. That gunshot wasn't him when they left him to shoot himself. Yeah. So I was like, you people got too much time on your hands. So anyways, we went over a little an hour, but that's okay. I think we got everything.
Yeah, we did. We covered all the major caught stuff.
I still got this cough. Last week was terrible. So
when we come back next episode, we will talk Flower and Garden will start. And, both you and I will, since we both of you and I, you will be there for the media event. I will obviously go there since I have more free time. So we'll compare notes and give you guys our review of this year's Flower and Garden Festival.
Yeah, we'll definitely have a full rundown of food and the festivities. And like I said, be sure to stay tuned this Saturday. I'll be there for the media event, and I'll be tweeting mainly on Twitter. I'll post a few things on Facebook, maybe a live stream or two, but mainly on Twitter at
Throw Geek. Pretty picture on Instagram. So,
maybe a couple pretty flower pictures on Instagram. So,
and remember, everything we talked about today will be in our show notes for this podcast. So you'll be able to click on the link to the various topics we discussed.
And be sure to subscribe to our new newsletter. The subscriptions have been rolling in. It's doing pretty well for only being on its third week. I think the next one goes out tomorrow morning. I did it today, and it's scheduled to go out. So if you haven't yet signed up for our newsletter, you can go to thrillgeek.com/newsletter, throw your email name in there, and everything will get once a week delivered to your inbox. So sign up for that.
And remember to follow us at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram. And you can subscribe and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/thrillgeek. And we got a YouTube channel. Subscribe to that, youtube.com/thrillgeek, where we will have all kinds of videos. And hopefully we'll have something within the next week up with a little bit of information on Flower and Garden, because you're going to get the chance to interview some people. And
yeah.
And we'll throw together a nice little video of that up at some point. And
definitely. We'll get some goodies up for that and some other stuff, hopefully. So, all right. We'll see you guys again next week. Take care. Thanks for listening. Bye.
See you in the parks.